gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. I want to stop there because that's really my part. Prophecy and faith. I'm Nancy Robinette. Larry Robinette is my husband. We've been married 43 years. Kylie's... Everyone says to the same man, and I said, oh, well, I've never been married before. Do you just keep adding them up? That I don't know. But to the same man, I've been married 43 years. Kylie is my youngest. I have a son that Larry Jr., his name is Punker to us. And I'm not a singer. You hear my voice. I'm not a singer. But I want to sing a song. You could follow along. You might know it. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for love is God. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, I am as a tinkling cymbal, a sand clanging brass, whatever, how it goes. The Lord had me do that in my church, praying for Vacation Bible School, because faith works by love. And we've heard so much about it. Excuse me, it's not my message, but I felt like I needed to do that. I'm going to take you on a journey today that the Lord started me on, and because we're all on a journey. That he has plans for us. I was listening to a song that an intercessor that I met in November sent to me. And in listening to this song, and I don't even remember the name of the singer, he said, God has a living will. You know, you go have surgery or whatever, and God has a living will. And it's like, oh, wow. And you're that living will. Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you. They are for good, for a future, an expected end, not for evil. So I am God's living will today. We all are God's living will. How are you living that life? Thank you, Jamie. August the 4th, I got a telephone call. My husband's retired. He lost a leg in Vietnam before I ever met him. And so we go to Fort Gordon. We're military. And I got a telephone call from Fort Gordon, August 4th. And Nancy's mentioned numbers. And yeah, you know, we know 4, 8s, new beginnings, different things like that. I'm going to have to put a peppermint in. I'm sorry. And, I had had a test. I didn't feel good. I went out in June of 2013, and I had had a chest x-ray for some kind of stomach bug or something. I don't know. I don't even remember. And so they called me the morning of August the 4th, and they said, Miss Robinette, you had a chest x-ray in June of 2013, and I thought, so? And they said, well, they found something. They want you to come back and follow up. You should have done that, and you didn't. And I thought, I don't remember all that. And I have the mind of Christ. I have a mind like a steel trap. I don't forget much. So I said, okay. I said, when do you want me to come? And they made an appointment August the 12th. I said, okay, I'll come. Well, we had had Danny Stain. He's up in New Jersey now, but he had been out of Columbia Mountain of Worship to come and speak, and he'd had a very strong prophetic word because my daughter had just moved back home from Washington, D.C., and so I had to go to Thompson afterwards. So I told him, make the appointment August the 12th, And I hung up the phone and I said, God, I will walk through this in faith, not in fear. Because in 1991, I had some pain. I went to the doctor. Long story short, they removed my right kidney. I had cancer. It was all contained in the kidney, no chemo, no nothing else. My sister had breast cancer and was battling that at that time. And so, but I hung up the phone. I said, I'll walk through this, Lord, in faith, not in fear. So I get in the car. I'm going to Thompson to run some errands, and I had Danny's CD from the church, but I wanted to get to the word. I'd already heard Danny preach, and I wanted to get to the word that he had had because it was a powerful word for Kylie. But listening to Danny, I heard God wants us to live in the supernatural because he is supernatural. And Nancy has confirmed so many things the Lord's given me because she said it should naturally be supernatural what we're doing because we were created in God's image and in his likeness, and he's a spirit. We are spirit. But in order for him to use us here on the earth, he had to give us a body, an earth suit. And so that's why we have a body. But we are spirit. He said, walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I said, wow, Lord, I'm going to walk in the supernatural. Well, about 2 o'clock that day, I went out to the garage to get a can of homegrown tomatoes that I'd canned. I'm going to make some lasagna. 2 little steps, stumped my foot, had the tomatoes in my hand, hit the wall, fell down on the jar, cut my finger badly. 6 stitches. I ran, I grabbed the dish rag, put around my finger. My husband's painting the front porch. I said, I've got to go to the hospital. Blood was shooting like crazy. And he said, I'm coming. So we get in the car, and it's like, oh, it hurts. And when I got out to the hospital, it's like, well, can you remove the rag? Only if I have to. So I move the rag and it hurt. And then I sit a while and then they take my vitals and I remove the rag and it hurt. And they send me to x-ray and I remove the rag and it hurt. And I'm thinking, don't make me remove the rag again. And it was like, oh, it's going to hurt. And I'm sitting there with fear after they put me in a room. And then all of a sudden, that's not supernatural, God. I've been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I'm sitting here worrying about the pain. I'm fearing the pain every time I have to take the rag off. And so I said, fear, go. I pull it off of me in the name of Jesus. And so I'm going to walk in the supernatural. Well, then, August the 11th is my birthday. I was 64. And it's like, oh, gosh, that's old. That's young. And it's a good number. And I have a dear friend. We've been friends for 35 years, over 35 years. We're prayer partners. And Audrey calls and she said, Nancy, I can't get away from your birthday. She said, go on Bullinger's numbers in the scripture and look up the number 10. Because 6 and 4 is 10 and 8, 11 is my birthday. And I said, okay. And so I go and I look up the number 10. The number 10 signifies the perfection of divine order. Whoa, God, who doesn't want to be perfect? Don't say anything, honey. Completeness of order. It implies nothing wanting. The number and order are perfect. The whole cycle is complete. Whoa, God. So, August the 12th, I go have stitches removed, and they said, we're going to do a chest x-ray. Now, from June 2013 till August the 12th, I'd seen my primary care doctor at least 2 or 3 times. And her and I have gotten very close. She's in from India. And I pray for her. And we're just, you know. And she said, Miss Robinette, what is wrong? She said, you've been out here. Are you losing weight? Are you sick? And I said, no. I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. Because the first time I went to her, I went in fear, and she said, oh, I will pray for you. And I'm thinking, she's going to pray for me, that you know, but now we pray for each other. And I said, no, I'm in a test. I really believe I'm in a test. And I said, they're not going to find anything, don't worry. And so she said, well, we're going to do the chest x-ray, and if there's anything on it, then we have to do a CT scan. They did the chest x-ray on the 12th. And so then on the 13th, Kim came. She's been involved. She has a party for me. We live out in the country, and there's a White Oak Church campground, and she has a shanty there. So she has me a birthday party, and we have a gathering. 10 people come to my birthday party, the number 10. And I was going to call Kylie and tell her to bring it, but I forgot. But my pastor, Elaine, was there. And Kim said, "Nancy, this is a gift to you from the Father, not from me. And it's a gavel that a judge uses." And she said, "The Father said to tell you he's given you his authority. And for you to speak and decree and declare and say it's done." And I thought, whoa. So then, well, and I got the call. Yes, we found something on the chest x-ray, so we have to do the CT scan. But on the 13th, before I went to Kim's, I get on my cell phone, and I used to get prayer notes from Lynn Hammond Ministries, Matt Hammond. They were in with Kenneth Copeland and everything. But I hadn't gotten anything from Lynn Hammond in years. And it says, "Nancy Robinette, is your faith strong in healing?" And I said, yeah. Because see, I said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Do you have faith? And I said to myself, yeah. Well, she said, when the enemy comes at her with sickness, she says immediately, she said, she cast it down. She knows it's a devil. She's not getting sick. But her husband, he goes to the Word. And she said, there's 19 instances of healing in the Gospels. 19 is a number for faith. And a 10 of those, my 10 number, he said, your faith will make you whole. And I said, whoa, God, I like that. So we had our little party and everything. And then on the 15th, I go out and I have my CT scan. Now, Kylie can testify because she's walked through this. And my husband has been there, but not great communicator. And so we haven't discussed it at all since August. But Kylie has seen some things. But I said, they're not going to find anything. There's nothing wrong with me, June. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And I'm a strong advocate of healing. That's one of my gifts. And the peace that was that surpassed all understanding was guarding my heart and mind. And I said, whoa. So on August the 15th, I get a telephone call, and they said, "Miss Robinette, we found lesions on your lungs." And I said, okay. So they pushed me off to pulmonary. And I think that was a Friday. I went on Monday, and I met Dr. Burkett, and just awesome doctor, sweet and loving and everything, just top-notch people. And he said, "Miss Robinette, we want to go in and do a bronch." That they run a tube down, a camera and a tube and everything, and we want to brush your lung and we want to take a biopsy. And I said, okay. And I was a little bit emotional. They wanted a family history. And I had a sister that's 3 years younger than me. She had 17 years, 4 major cancers, died at 49. My mother got lymphoma when she was in her late 70s, 1 chemo treatment, total organ failure. But the Lord really put her in, because she got it in her mind, I have to go this way, because she goes in the hospital and the doctor says, "No more chemo, Miss Hendrick." And she said, "Oh, okay." And so we go and she said, "Guess what? The Lord healed me with that 1 chemo treatment." I thought, okay, Mom. I said, "It almost killed you." She said, "No, I'm healed." She stayed in the hospital for a good while. And because from that 1 chemo, like I said, in a week she was on dialysis. Because of all the stuff, but they wasn't permanent dialysis. But as a man thinketh, so is he. And when she left that hospital, no more chemo, and then she did break her femur, but she said, "I'm going out of here healed." God raised her back up because of her faith and her saying, "I'm healed. I'm going out of here a miracle." She died 18 months later, never saw another chemo doctor, never got any reports of any cancer or anything. She was convinced 1 chemo treatment healed her. So, and I got a little bit emotional that day, but I told Dr. Burkett, I said, "I'm in a test." I said, "You're not going to find anything." And he said, okay. But the next day, the 19th, the number of faith, and numbers. You're going to hear a lot of numbers, and it's like all of a sudden, whoa. And Nancy keeps talking about the numbers, and it's like, well, I have numbers. So they go and they do this bronch test and everything, But the people that I had, the nurse, the technician, and everything was just so amazing and loving and everything. So they take and do this. They find nothing. And Dr. Burkett, when he come to like recovery, because I'm just awake. Well, they kind of knock you a little bit, but it didn't work much because I remember even though I was like semi out of it, crying and just crying because it hurt. The medication didn't work on knocking it out. He apologized and everything. I said, hey, I'm fine. I said, I remember crying, but I'm fine. And he said, well, now we just wait and pray. And I thought, oh, I like him. And so, but he said, even that day, he said, let's go ahead, because I had had that one CT scan, but it only went like to my belly button. And since I had lost my right kidney, he said, we want to do another CT scan and do from, I guess, my chin to my knees or something. So I said, okay. So they scheduled that. And then he said, well, what the heck? Let's just go ahead and schedule a PET scan to be on the safe side. And I was like, oh, sure, why not? You know. So I go have the other CT scan, and everything's clear. Then I have the PET scan, and everything's clear. And I'm at peace. But then the enemy come, because I did have one or two days in that time, I would go to eat, and everything was right here. And what it was, though, was panic attacks, because I was getting ready to go to a conference, and it was like, oh, I would just kind of stretch. I can't breathe. And one time I come in, and Kylie was there, and it was just meltdown, and I said, oh, God. And it's like, because, see, they're testing my lungs, and I thought, I can't breathe. And Kylie said, Mom, I think it's a panic attack. And I said, you know, I did too, but I would go to bed at night, and it was like, and I had to battle it. So I don't want you to think I didn't have a bad day. I had some bad days. Nothing in the other CT, nothing in the PET scan. And so they didn't call with the result, though, from the brushing and the whatever that thing's called, biopsy. And I said, I know why. I am a sign and wonder. I wonder why that, you know, they're thinking. They're scratching their heads. I don't have fleas. And so Dr. Burkett calls. He even goes down to pathology, and he said, I don't understand this. They couldn't find anything. And they said, what do you think it is? Oh, we know. We didn't use a big enough tool. Let's do the test again. But I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll order a bigger tool. So he calls and he said, Miss Robinette, I'm sorry it took so long. We didn't find anything. I said, I told you so. I didn't say that. And but he said, we need a bigger tool. We didn't think we got a big enough piece because we could do three things. Bust your chest open. But he said, we don't want to do that. We could go in with a needle biopsy. We don't really want to do that because that's invasive. Can we do that, the bronch again? The camera and the whole nine yards. And I thought, sure, why not? And he said, we had to order a tool. In fact, they had to order 20 because they didn't sell them in lots of one. So on the 19th, well, that's when he called. Then, like I said, I had the PET scan. And then September the 12th, I have the bronch test with a bigger tool. And they didn't find anything. Well, I didn't know that yet because then on the 15th, that was Friday, on the 15th, he said, we're going to go ahead and meet with a team of doctors just in case that, you know, and they're going to be surgeon and they're going to be the x-ray radiology people. So to see, you know, what's going on and what they might suggest just in case we do find something. So it's like, okay, so the second bronch test, they didn't find anything. And but when they did with surgeons and everything, because they said, now what do we do? That, you know, when they did get the results later in that week. And so they said, well, the radiologist said, let's go in and do a needle biopsy. And I didn't realize until I was writing all these dates down. See, when the doctors all met was September the 15th, October the 15th, I'm going back in for a needle biopsy, which was here. Well, then they lay me on a bed and they go through my chest. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I didn't know they were going to do that. And I told Larry when I come out, I said, Larry, and they must have hit a blood vessel or something. There was blood in my hair all over the place and whatever. So I had to wait. And I said, they're not going to find anything. But then I really did have peace because I had taken authority over the panic attacks. Jamie goes to my church. She's a praise and worship leader. We meet on Thursday nights. We get in a little circle, five or six of us, and I told her panic attacks. And Jamie said, Lord, very simple, Jamie. She said, Lord, remove those panic attacks from Nancy. And for a long time, and I only had like one after then, but it was later on for a reason. Yes, yes. And so October the 24th was Friday, and it was a week and a half after that second bronch, the needle biopsy. And Dr. Burkett called, and he said, hey, Miss Robinette, how are you? And I said, oh, I'm fine. And he said, I hate to give you bad news on a Friday afternoon, but he said, we found renal cell carcinoma. And he said, that's what we were looking for. And I thought, well, enough tests, you find something, I guess. So I said, okay. And I have to say, I was shocked. I thought, I don't believe this. I said, God. And so then he's pushing me off to oncology. And I was shocked. Well, got up Saturday morning, because that was Friday, and it was the 25th, and the Lord said, go get your notes on the potter and the clay. In the year 2000, I went to Carrollton. Benji Mallory has Raising Up Elishas, and said, I heard they did a little devotion before the main speakers, and they do about like Nancy, you know, a 9 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever, but they always had a little devotion. And this man was teaching on the potter and the clay. And he said, the potter goes and he reaches down into the dirt and he goes really deep to get the best dirt and the clay. And when that clay comes up, it goes, because it doesn't want to be separated. And but the Lord said, go get your notes. So when I heard that in 2000, and then I came home, I'm involved in a GLOW. I go to a G8 summit meeting down in Sea Island, and Pat Jenkins was here, and she asked me would I speak at her nighttime at GLOW. And I said, sure. And I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? The potter and the clay. So I sat down, and the Lord gives me more than what that man had taught on. And so I put my notes up somewhere. And when I got the call that Saturday morning, the Lord said, go get your notes on the potter and the clay. I knew what he was going to tell me. Because, see, with the potter and with the clay, and at the beginning of it, it says, come on, I want to take you on a journey. I have some place. I have plans for you, and I'm going to take you somewhere, Jamie. But he said, well, why don't you take a trip with me first? He said, let's go to the potter's clay. Because, see, the potter gets to make out of the clay what he wants to. God is the potter. We are the clay. And he makes us the vessel that he wants us to be. And I bet the ones of you that know me will not be surprised when I tell you several times, and the first time was a little bitty Assembly of God Church. We're up front praying, and the pastor's wife starts to pray, and she says, a word, a word, a word, a word. And because I knew all those people, she was right on. She got to me and she stopped and laughed. Why? June, pray for me. June does love your neighbor. I need a lot of prayer. And I thought, why are you laughing? You didn't laugh with them. She said, Nancy, I'm just going to tell you what the Lord is telling me. You're a mouth to the body of Christ. And most people just... because I talk, and a lot, and so I said, okay, but she said, God's going to use that mouth, whether you want him to or not, because I've always wanted to be really quiet, and just, you know, ain't happening. I'm number 4 in 8 children. When you got 8 kids, you're nobody's quiet. You have to yell to be heard, that, you know, or maybe I thought I did. So anyway, but in that, the potter gets the clay, and then the potter washes the clay. And then what this man taught, he takes that clay, and he gives a stick, maybe to your best friend, maybe to your husband, to your children, to your pastors, at his discretion, and they start beating to get all of the little fine stuff out, all of the bubbles, because there can't be anything in you. And so then after he does that, he kind of lets you sit and you bask, and it's like salvation, and it feels good, and the sun is shining. Now I'm just a piece of clay that I've been washing and I'm cleaning over here. Then he takes and he sifts it, fine as baby powder. Then he takes water, the Holy Spirit, and gets in there, and then he starts and he makes you something. What he wants you to be, a mouth, a cup, a pot, a whatever. And then he cuts you see your this big old pot of clay in the vessels here, but he has to cut you from the original lump that you made. And we're still part of a, you know, many members, but one individual to use you. And here's where I knew the Lord was taking me. Then he takes and puts you in the fiery furnace. And he says, and the original notes were so elementary back in 2002, I have grown to the glory of God. And I said, he hardens you. And I thought, God, that's a terrible word. But then he gave me a new one. See, he doesn't want us hard. He said, I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And he makes us, he equips us for his service. We can either be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. And so he was making me into a vessel of honor. And I thought, oh, who wants to go through the fiery furnace? But he says, if you suffer with me, you'll also reign with me. And we are going to suffer with the Lord. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm in the fiery furnace. But I have to tell you, when they called, I got up that Saturday after, you know, the Lord showed me the potter and the clay. And I said, I'm not receiving that report. I don't have to take a package from UPS if it's got Nancy Robinette's name on it. I don't care who it's from. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent. Take it back. And I said, I'm not receiving that. I am healed by Jesus' stripes. Well, the conference that was coming up was October the 30th. And I really felt led to go because I'd been to Benji since 2000, sometimes twice a year, and sometimes 3 or 4 years without going. And she's a spitfire at 78 years old, but she launches, she equips and whatever. And she said, Nancy, and I get letters from her all the time. And she said, this is a Holy Ghost meeting. It's as though we're all together in the upper room on the day of Pentecost type meeting. And she had speakers, but she said, don't come with agenda. Mary Beth, I'm not telling you what to speak. We're going to use Holy Spirit. Elaine, Holy Spirit's going to speak. And it's like, Tom, Holy Spirit. And so, wow, I knew I had to be at that meeting. So I said, honey, it's our 43rd anniversary, October the 30th. Do you want to go to Benji's? Well, he laughed at me. I said, okay, I am going. I don't care what anniversary, I'm going, because I knew I had to be there. And I said, and I was sharing with Kim, and I said, well, it's our 43rd anniversary. I don't know what that means. Whoa, girlfriend. Isaiah 43, forget the former things, forget the past. I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? And I said, whoa, God. And I pack up and I go to Carrollton. Well, while I'm up there, because I normally keep my hair short, and while I'm up there, I wake up because it's like, man, it is a Holy Ghost meeting. And she has these men. She said, I want you to come across the front, was one of the things. And she said, tell me. And some of them were Vietnam era, most of them were. And it was like half and half. Some were not military, some were military. And just whatever you see that God's going to take and do with the next year, what do you think is happening and everything? And some got up there and this one man said, well, I'm not very optimistic. It's over and done with. God's through with America, blah, blah, blah. We've done gone too far. And it's like, okay. And then this other man says, well, he said, I'm military and everything. And he said, I think we need to be put boots on the ground. And he said, it's the only way we're going to win the war. And it's like, okay. And so I do jail ministry. I'm going to throw this in real quick. And Pastor Elaine had asked me to speak. Jonathan says, these are my pastors here, Jonathan and Elaine Rice. And Jonathan heard me pray one time, and I don't know why. He was so amazed, but it was like, whoa. He said, Nancy, we're putting you in the pulpit as much as you'll get in it. And I thought, okay. So Elaine asked me to get in the pulpit. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to speak on? And I woke up in bed one morning, because this was months and months before all this happened. It was before August. And he said, Peter, this is what I heard. Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And he switched it, and he said, Nancy, who do I say you are? I said, whoa, God, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the apple of his eye. I can do all things through God, Christ who strengthens me. And I said, whoa. So I go to jail, and I always get to, I do jail ministry with the Globe once a month. I go this Monday, and it's like, I'm going to use this message. Because you know what he said at this meeting, some of the things that I heard? I want boots on the ground. You are boots on the ground, Valerie. You are boots on the ground, Sabra. We're the boots on the ground. But see, how many of us want to get into that sonship? We want to get mature. We want to go and do what God wants us to take and do. Then he says, because we're in the army of the Lord. And I had heard, not at Benji's, but in jail ministry, when I was preparing for the message, that Elaine had asked, who does God say that I am? And you know what I heard? Weapons of mass destruction. Because we went up to Kelly and Barry Besson had church, and I shared that up there. And we were up there in June, end of July. And I said, we are weapons of mass destruction. Well, what does that mean? Now stop and think. Where's your battlefield? And we've been doing battlefield of the mind for I don't know how long, because we're taking it week to week, and me and Jonathan and Elaine facilitate. Satan has constructed. Because I really wanted to renew your mind, Eric. I love that young man. I told him I'm so impressed because he gets into the Word and he knows, bring your Bible, bring your notes, because it's the Word of God. It isn't Eric. And Satan has constructed something in our mind. And God's going to use us to destruct weapons of mass destruction. So then, like I mentioned, I usually keep my hair short. Well, I felt led to let my hair grow out a little bit. And I'm struggling with it. The rain yesterday. But I think a couple of years ago, I had gotten Lisa Bevere's book, Lioness Arising. And she was on Sid Roth last week. And I'm in Benji's meeting, and I wake up one morning, and it says, I remember that. The lion is not the biggest, the meanest, the fiercest, and all this kind of stuff, because there's an elephant. And the fastest is a cheetah, and I don't know what the other says, but don't tell a lion that. A lion has a roar, and I have a roar. I have a mouth. But then, what a lion will do, I watch my ear, shake that hair, and it's the size of its mane. That scares everybody. Between the roar, and it's like, whoa. And Lisa said in the book, lions live in the light and hunt in the dark. And their eye is made, because someone said, see, so many things, Nancy, or somebody said, I can't see in the dark. And I went, oh, maybe when we were eating or something. I wanted to say, yes, you can, Jonathan. Because a cat's eye goes like this. And from the stars, even, in the jungle, in the desert, there's no street light. It takes in all that light and turns it around, and it can see like a flashlight. Did you know that? No, I didn't either, but Lisa told me in her book. And so, Isaiah chapter 6, he says, arise, shine, your light has come. And he wants us to arise as the lion of the tribe of Judah, because Jesus is our elder brother. And he says, you can rule and you can reign, and you go roar and you shake that head of yours. Amen. And so it's like, whoa. Well, then when I came home, I felt led to read Luke chapter 4. And, Luke period. Because Luke was a physician, but I'd heard somebody on Christian TV said, it's time for the church to arise and be the body of Christ, to be the early church. But Luke wrote Acts, and I said, man, I need to go read Acts. But really, for whatever reason, I went to Luke. Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord led Jesus into the wilderness for a time of testing. When the enemy come, he give him the word. He said, it is written, it is written. Now, this is what really spoke to me. And he give angels charge of him, really spoke. But he said, when he came out of his testing, he went into the synagogues and he taught and was respected everywhere he went. No pity party, but I have not been respected. Because it's us, oh Nancy, the potter's son, a prophet without honor in his own hometown. Even among his own family. Christians in my family, and it's like, oh gosh, Nancy. My sister that passed away, it was so sad. One time she said to me, Nancy, can you never do anything but talk about God? Well, I could go, I'm sure I could find trash, you know, everybody knows enough. But I thought, what do you want me to talk about? We're Christians, because I talk about God everywhere I go, and my daughter, Mom, shut up. And I'm going to tell on you, John. I love that man. I sit and eat with him because I talk to anybody. Kylie will say, Mom, and I said, Kylie, if I'm talking and they want to get up and leave, they can say, oh, Nancy, I have to go feed the cat. And I'm talking to John. And he likes his Southern hospitality because he's from Ketchikan. Okay. I said, well, hey, we sure enough got it. I was in the bank one day, and the man behind me said, I hate this place down here. He said, you go in the bank, and they say, well, hey, June, how's Auntie Ruth today? How's Uncle Jim Bob? And he said, who cares? I said, hey, but when you can go into that bank and say, Mr. Henry, I want to go buy a car, but we want to just, you know, we've got some money, and we don't want to finance it through the thing. He said, go buy the car, Nancy and Larry, and come back in a couple of days. Go ahead and write the check. We'll work the papers up. That's why you like living in the South. And so we're talking, and we get through. And John said, Nancy, I enjoyed it, but I got to go feed the cat. Get that smirk off your face, Kylie Renee. Because she always says, Mom, you talk to people in the elevator. Everybody, I said, he'd go feed the cat. Well, John went and fed the cat. And I don't think he's brought a cat with him. So anyway, Luke chapter 4, I'm going to be respected because God says, in due season, I will lift you up. And but then when I started reading Luke, it's like the number 12. Every time I turned around, it was 12. And because God's used this a lot with me, Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, that 12 basketfuls left over when I'm reading Luke. 12 disciples. What is 12? And governmental perfection. And so I felt, let me just back up a little bit. October the 30th, I got a telephone call at Benji's because I was coming home that day. And it was from Fort Gordon, and they said, Miss Robinette, we have an appointment for you to go to oncology because I'm through with the test and pulmonary there. And I said, okay. And she said, December the 1st, from October the 31st. And I'm thinking, okay, that, and God orders your footsteps. And I said, okay, I'll take it. And I get off the phone and I said, I said, Kylie, don't you think that's a long time? She said, you call them back and you tell them to change that appointment. And I said, no. I didn't initiate this. God did. So I said, he's ordering my footsteps. I'm not changing it. And so the number 12. But he's establishing his government. And that's what I felt. This was the day God was establishing his government rule over my life. From October the 24th, when I was diagnosed, because see, I'm led into the wilderness. And the number 40 is a day of testing. And I'm thinking, whoa, God. And I would share this a time or two, and I said, I need to go see how many days from the day they give me a diagnosis till December the 1st. Because I knew it was 40. Well, it wasn't. It was better. 39. But I don't know everything. I've told Kylie all her life I know everything because I have an unction, the Holy Spirit, and says I have no need of a teacher. If it kind of went over my head to hear Kim Kane come again, she said, Nancy, the number of stripes Jesus took. I said, whoa, praise God. So that was a good number, December the 1st, even though it was like a long time. So I go to the doctor December the 1st and met a wonderful, sweet lady that she's top-notch. Larry is so impressed with her, the oncologist, Dr. Steele. And she said, well, Miss Robinette, it's been 6 weeks since you, 6 weeks since I had the last CAT scan. So that's a long time, so let's do another test. And it's like, why not? You know, so we do another test, and because of the length of it. And so they did blood and urine that day, and then on December the 3rd, I had another CAT scan. And every doctor's always called me with my results. Well, she didn't call, and everyone said, did you get your call? And I said, no, what'd they find? I don't know. And it's like, that's okay. And so then she said, but I want to get an echo and an EKG to make sure everything's okay before we do the chemo. Well, I have to throw in here, I was adamant, no chemo. I'm not going out there and say, here I am, do what you want. I said, no way. But I did have to repent before the Lord and said, Lord, who am I to tell you what I will do? You are God. I will do what you want me to. And so she said, call and make the appointment. And when you get the appointment, then I want you to make an appointment to come back and see me. And I want to see you within 48 hours. And I said, okay. So I make the appointment. I got it for the 16th. Well, I didn't call that day because I didn't want to go back to see her. And so then when I prayed that morning, I said, okay, Lord, I have to make an appointment to go back to oncology. Would you give me the day that I'm supposed to go? And it's okay. I call and oncology, and they said, oh, okay. And January the 15th, I said, okay. I mean, here we are. We're even before December the 16th, because I called like a week and a half. It took that long to get into cardiology. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, doctor still wants to see me within 48 hours. Well, that's the only first available appointment she's got. She said, you can talk to Lily. No. I don't need Lily. I don't know who Lily is. She's that sweet little girl we had last time at the Dessler, right? I know who Lily is now. And so I said, I'll take it. So I'm thinking, wow, that's 6 weeks. And I call Kylie again. She said, Mama, you have her number. You call and change that. And I said, but Kylie, I prayed. And she said, okay, whatever, that, you know. And I said, okay. So I go and I have my EKG and my echo on the 16th. And I kept thinking, and I didn't look it up on Bollinger's Numbers because that's where I kept going. And I said, what is the number 16th? And Nancy said the other night, it's love. The number 16 is love. I didn't know that. So anyway, God give me that date. And so I took it because he orders our footsteps. But then see, I'm going the 15th I'd already had other 15s. What does the number 15 mean? The number 15 is biblically tied to celebration and rest after a victory or harvest. Whoa, God, I'm going to have a victory and a celebration. And then, even in something else that I'd seen, I'm just going to throw it out. Oh, I know what it was. On Spirit Fuel, on my phone, it just pops up. I don't know who put it, where it come from, but it's good. And it says 2015 is a year of reversal, a turnaround. And even, whoever wrote that on there, this was their information. Turned in Strong's Concordance as number 2015. And it means to overturn, to change, to overthrow, turn around, transform, be reversed. Well, when I go back on the 15th, it's going to be wiped away. It's going to be all taken care of. I mean, I'm convinced. Well, then here come one of these little bad days, the 30th. I go to bed, and I said, God, where are you? December the 30th. God, where are you? I just don't feel like I hear you. But I've been in this ministry for 6 months, and this lady was stretching and having me doing things and everything like that. And so the Lord started reminding me, because I'd be going down the road, and the Lord said, Liz is going to ask you to open in prayer. And I thought, oh, God. And then she said, Liz is going to do this. And he would always tell me, like, what was going to happen. And he reminded me of that, and I started crying because I just felt really bad. And I said, oh, wow, God, I do hear you. And I don't know at that night if I said, God, I don't feel loved, but I must have. But the thing that I do remember saying, just weeping, Tom, God, you trust me because you would never allow me to go through this if you didn't trust me and you weren't going to get glory and honor out of it. It was major. So then we're big football, basketball, you name it. And me and Larry Ray, the 31st, we're sitting watching big New Year's Eve celebration. Football or bat, whatever's on. And some game went off at 10 till 12. And so he said the additional 10 minutes, give me a kiss, and went to bed. Well, I wasn't ready to go to bed, so I'm flipping channels, and I found a movie of the woman, Margie Rawling, that wrote The Yearling, and so I watch it. It goes off at 5 minutes after 2. And I thought, man, I'm still not ready to go to bed. And I thought, whoa, it's a new year. It's January the 1st. I'm going to start reading my Bible through. It's January. I go ahead and do that. And I go sit on the couch and I get my Bible. And then I said, there's the notes to Nancy's conference. And I said, no, I need to write something. And this tablet was there. And I said, I need to take some notes, and I pick it up, and then it's like, here's these notes. And I thought, wow, July the 29th, okay. It says rest, and I've been hearing rest. Rest comes before ruling, and we all want to rule. We all want to reign. We all want to be, in most people. Now, I know a lot of people don't, but there are people that do. And then he said, peace comes before power. And I thought, whoa. And he said, do not rule over the devil until you are submitting to God's rule over you. And I thought, whoa, God. Because, see, I'm not doing chemo. I'm not going through this. And then I said, well, here's another thing. The wilderness journey was to be a honeymoon period of the children of Israel getting to know the bridegroom and his faithfulness to provide all of their needs. I was crying like a baby. I was on my knees, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, which is your reasonable service, that you might prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. Now, we all want to know the will of God, but we sure don't want to present our bodies a living sacrifice. I had to hit my knees, and I had to say, God, forgive me. You order my footsteps. You're in charge. I don't like it, and I don't want it, but I had to overcome by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and most people leave this off, and that you love not your life to the death. So I said, okay, God. And so I got these notes. And then I started journaling and on the 10th, because I started waking up, God started speaking to me. And I wasn't writing them down because I'm not a writer. And I talk better than a writer. Or I like to hear myself or something. I got the book from Wendy Alec, Journal of the Unknown Prophet. And I got this years ago. And she writes in it, but it's like the Lord writing to me. Oh, I shook and cried and stuck it on a shelf. But I pulled it back out and I shook and cried again and I started writing. And it was the 10th. Oh, thank you, Lord. I didn't even write this in my notes. 10 is the number for testimony. Even. And see, with all the numbers of my birthday and everything. So I started journaling. And then I had a dream on the 11th. And in the dream, buddy, I was just decked out in purple satin. And it was like, whoa, God. And some more in the dream and everything, but that was the main thing. And it's like the Lord wanted me to come, and he wanted me to dance with him. That, you know, and it's like, whoa, and I'm just dancing with the Lord, you know. And it's like, wow. And then I thought, of the color purple, the movie. And if you didn't know what happened, Whoopi Goldberg played in it, and her children were taken away, and they were sent to Africa with missionaries, adopted them, and then her younger sister goes to Africa, but she gets her kids back. And at the end of it, they're just dancing and praising, and it's like, whoa, all that African music, Kali, boo, 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 whatever. And it's like, oh, my gosh. And because everything taken had been restored. See, that was the thing. And I thought, whoa, God. And then on the 12th, it's like I woke up this morning with Jude 20, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And it's like, oh, wow, God, the Holy Spirit makes intercession with things that we don't know. And then the next day I wake up and it says, it's a day to rejoice and be glad in the Lord. He is my salvation. I put my trust in him. He has spoken, and he will do it. Numbers 23, I'm in jail again, and I'm teaching on something, and this young girl says something, and I said, oh, no. I said, don't worry. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. And I wrote it down here. Has he not said it? Will he not do it? And here, oh, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said it, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? And it's like, wow. So he said, rejoice and praise God. And then on the 14th, and I don't know what 13 or 14 means, Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise, a joyful shout unto the Lord. And it's all this rejoicing and praising God. The 15th, Doctor Day. I'd seen something on Spirit Fuel again or some word that it said, go read Esther chapter 9. And I thought, okay. So I get in the bathtub. I love to soak and read. And I'm reading Esther 9. And King says, Esther, what do you want? She said, I want the Jews to be able to go and kill their tormentors on the 13th. Let them do it. So they go do it, and he comes back the next day. This is after she's done went to him originally because for what the purpose that she was at the kingdom. He said, what do you want on the 14th? She said, I want them to be able to go back out and kill their tormentors. I think it was over 7,000, it said. Well, then we get to the 15th day, and it's like it was a day of feasting and celebration. What the number means. After a victory or a harvest. Oh, God, I'm going to the doctor. Praise time, feast time, you know. Woo! Because it's a year of reversal and it's all going to be reversed. It's all going to be washed away. Woo! Praise God. So I go to the doctor. Now, I had to go have another CAT scan. No, that comes later. Sorry. So I go to the doctor. But see, it's been 6 weeks. But she never called me on the CAT scan that I had December the 3rd. So I said, it's going to be washed away. It's going to be clear, because that was my prayer. And it's like, she said, Miss Robinette, it's been a long time. So let's do another CAT scan. Sure, why not? But you know, my friend from 35 years ago, Audrey, called me. She said, Nancy, because that was Thursday, and she called me the 16th, the day of love. And she said, I can't get away from you. I'm doing mine. She's really into her Hebrew roots and studying with Abraham and all this before Jesus. And said, Abraham went through 10 tests from the time that God said, get up and go, until the time that he had to offer up Isaac. Abraham didn't know whether or not he would pass those tests, but God did. And he trusted him. And see, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. So it's like, it was real encouraging. But I have to tell you, the 15th, I hit rock bottom. Oh, I cried. Everything I believed, I just felt like was attacked. God, she could have, you know, she could have took and looked and it was like, oh my gosh, you're healed, there's nothing there. And it didn't happen. So, oh, yes. And it was my turn, it was really Jonathan's turn or Elaine's or somebody's, to teach Battlefield of the Mind. And we are in the wilderness mindsets, which are the last 20. We only have four more to go. And I said, I'll switch. And when I said I would switch, I sit in my seat and wonder what I'm going to be getting into. Self-pity. Poor old me. My life is so bad. You all just don't understand what I'm going through. And Joy said, you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both. And so, and sweet little Jamie said, Nancy, you're still hurt, healed. And I thought, yeah, uh-huh. I was ugly. But I did the teaching, and I came home, and I got in bed. You know, and the next morning, I just laid. I get up early, but I didn't get up that morning. I felt sorry for myself. Oh, I have to back up to the 16th because, that was the day. I'm right on track. And I woke up. And you know what I hear after I've laid and felt sorry for myself long enough? And I kept saying, God, I know I need to come to you and repent. But I'm so ashamed to come to you. I can't even come and repent. I felt so bad because I had a rotten attitude. And then I heard, do not fear, only believe. And I've used that for I don't know how many years because it's been 23 years since I lost my kidney. And that doctor, even when I went to see Dr. Seale, she said, what brought you out to Fort Gordon? Why are you here? I said, they called me. They told me, come. She said, I don't understand that. And you know what it was? The doctor's going over his test that he took in the last year and saw me. She said, he did what? I said, he went over his test and he saw that I didn't follow up. She said, that doesn't even make sense. See, it's God. It's not what some doctor, you know, blame it on him. I don't even remember his name or what he looked like. And then Lynn Hammond said, but your faith will make you whole 10 times. So, but I've prayed, and she said, you're decades out. She said, not 5 years, but decades out. And it's like, wow, but the Lord said, do not fear, only believe. And I remember years ago seeing And reading, Jairus comes to the master, and he said, my daughter's at the point of death. And he said, will you come? And he said, sure. And so this is Nancy's take. And then this woman comes up and interrupts him, and she's got to grab on his prayer shawl. And it's like, hey, you get your time. This is my time. My daughter's at the point of death. But Jerry Savelle taught it was a teaching moment for Jairus. And so he's standing there, and he's listening. And who touched me? Because Jesus didn't say anything to her. She didn't say anything to him. But she knew where to plug into the electricity. She knew the power source. If I can just touch the hem of her garment. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. And so then Jairus' servant comes and says, don't bother the master. Your daughter's dead. And buddy, this is Jesus is here with this woman of issue of blood. And he hears the servant and he says, do not fear, only believe, and she will be made well. And it was like, that's what he gave me. And I said, whoa, God. Error doesn't diminish my character, but gives me a place for courage, humility, growth, and personal depth. Seek me for wisdom in all things, and says the Lord. So my thing is to go and say, okay, Lord, attitude wrong and everything, show me where I've missed it. Show me what I need to learn that I can walk through this. And like I said, you don't have highs and you don't have lows. Because like I said, you walk that path and he makes the crooked ways straight. He makes rivers in the desert and whatever. So it's like, whoa, that's a good word. And then the 17th is the number for victory because my son's birthday is September 17th and I knew that. And it was like, enter my gates with thanksgiving. Enter my courts with praise. This is the day that I have made. I will rejoice in it. Psalms 104. I will praise the Lord in his sovereignty. And then I keep on going. And then the Lord says, I felt, go back and read Esther again. You know, read chapter 9. And I'm reading it. And I said, but I'm going to flip over and I'm going to get some history here. And I go to chapter 8. And then it's like, whoa. I don't know, it just popped up, and it's like 8:8. And see, Nancy said, 8, turn it sideways, and it looks like glasses. And even somebody said it's infinity, and you see, get a different perspective. And so the king said to him, and I didn't know who him was then, and, you know, because like I said, I just wasn't thinking there. And he said, I want you to make a decree. What do you want? I want you to ask me. And he said, I'm going to give you a signet key ring. Here's a ring. And he said, whatever you decree, stamp it. And it cannot be revoked. Whoa, God, a ring. Because you know what the Lord reminded me? I was sitting out there in November. Dave McDonald, originally from Australia, now out of Charleston, he's here and he's teaching. And his son had got down almost paralyzed and couldn't walk in February. And we're friends on Facebook. And Dave's thanking all the people and everything. And then he looks and he says, you prayed for my son. And I just kind of, he said, I know you did in the spirit, didn't you? And I said, yes. He said, I never remember your name because he's given me two powerful words. And I said, Nancy. He said, Nancy, you've been in a very lonely place since this summer. Because the desert is alone. To a desert place, a lonely place, is where Jesus was led. But he said, I see God giving you a ring. And it's like, with a stamp. It's his authority. You know what I did? I stood up. I said, God, I reach out and I receive that ring of authority. And I decree that the cancer has got to die in my body. It's trespassing anyway. It cannot stay. I asked you, God, to reverse the curse because Jesus became a curse that I am redeemed from the curse. I decree and declare that cancer stops here. It never goes any further. It will not come into my family, into my children, my grandchildren, any generation from today onward till Jesus comes. I decree it in the name of Jesus because of the authority that you've given me, the ring. And I said, Lord, I reach out and I take that ring. And I said, God, I want that ring in the natural. I want that ring to be seen on my hand. So I said, God, watch out. Speak to whoever has my ring and tell him to bring it to me. Bless me with that ring, Lord, because I want people to see. Say, June, what are you praying for? I'm coming into agreement by the authority that God gave to me. We're going to decree and declare it, and I'm going to stamp it done, just like my gavel, in the name of Jesus. Whoa, God. But then you know what? I didn't get any more words. I didn't hear nothing. So I didn't write nothing. And it's like, I just still didn't get no more words. But when I had went to her 15th, let's do another CT scan. Okay. The 20th, we go. And I thank God for my husband. He's went every time that I've went. I went last time 23 years ago by myself, all except one appointment. The day they told me I had cancer in my kidney, I was by myself. And it was like, whoa. And Larry's been there. He, you know, no, I'm going. I said, honey, you don't need to go. 5 minutes, drink that junk and go. And I got moking. It tasted good. I've done drank that stuff 4 times. It tastes like coffee. But it was very hard to drink it the other day. I kept wiping tears. We run errands all over and we're doing stuff. And I just was kept wiping tears. And I haven't broke down in front of Larry. And it was like so emotional. I thought, what's going on here? That, you know, but it was an emotional day. And because what does 20 mean? Redemptive rest or something. I didn't look 20 up. It's okay. And but then the 21st, I woke up at 1:54 a.m. And it's like all the stuff's just going in my mind. And I'm just rehearsing everything. And it's like, oh, God. I'm just remembering at 2 o'clock in the morning. And 5.5 months with everything. But I want you to know there was a stirring. I was so excited. I'm going to the doctor. And you know what? This test is going to be wiped clean. And it's like, I couldn't wait to get out there to Dr. Seal. Because the first time I went to see all those patients in the chemo chairs and everything that, you know, and some of them elderly. And so she sits down and she said, oh, we're not going to be in here but just a couple of minutes because I was to go back and get the chemo pills that I had to start taking. And she said, we're going to be in here in a minute. And she said, well, there was no change in your scan. And I didn't break down. But I went, what? What? And I said, okay. Yeah, okay. And it's like, she said, well, we're going to get out and get your medicine. And they knocked on the door. Oh, delivery. She said, I'm going to expect it every time from now on. So they bring the thing. And it says, I sent a cryptic little message to my sister and Audrey and Punker. And I said, no change in the CT scan. I come home with chemo pills and nausea medicine. And that was 3 o'clock Wednesday. And Mike and Sabre came in at 4:30 Wednesday. And I said, okay. I hadn't put a pen to a piece of paper to write my message because I'm teaching on faith. And how can I teach on faith when it's like I don't have any faith? It's like, God, I didn't get what I wanted. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do chemo. What are you doing, Lord? And so I thought, Larry immediately had to go across the street. We live in the country. My son's business is there. Kylie works there. They didn't have any water. And I thought, I was disappointed. I don't think anger, I had anger the first time. Disappointed. And I said, okay, God. Well, okay. At the table, my piece of paper. I wrote my pen. I said, August the 4th. Because I knew it was my testimony that I was to give. And didn't end the way I wanted it to. Took my third chemo pill this morning. And I started writing, though. And then, you know what? He started reminding me that he was not a man that he should lie.
that his word will not return void, but that it will accomplish that that he intends. And then I remembered a lesson that one of them taught in Battlefield of the Mind just 3 weeks ago, I think it was. And it was on, my life would be better if I didn't have gray hair, if I wasn't fat, or if my car wasn't gray, or bugs weren't in the ground, or the leaves were on the tree, you know, that kind of thing. It was, you know, whatever, it's stupid stuff. Joyce Meyer's funny anyway, she puts all this stuff. And I had studied it and underhighlighted and everything, but then when they're teaching it, it's all like all of a sudden, wow. Adam said, well, God, it's that woman you gave me. Then it was like, oh, Abraham, go sleep with Hagar. And I told Aline, I said, you know, it's kind of like maybe I'm chasing rabbits, but it hit me. God said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Adam didn't listen. Now, Eve was deceived, and it's like the enemy is deceiving her. I said, where was Adam? And Jonathan said, where was he? I said, right beside her. Well, who said so? God did, because she turned and gave him the fruit. Then I said, Abraham, God said, look up at all the stars. That's how the descendants of yours are going to be numbered. Look at the sands on the sea, the grains of sand. That's going to be your descendants. God spoke to Abraham. Now, I'm not bashing men, but they are the authority. It's like Nietzsche said, there's an order. They need to stand up. But a lot of them have it. And so you know what happened when old Adam didn't do his job? And really, when Abraham didn't do his job, those women said, sit down, I'll take over. They took over. And Sarah says, here, go sleep with the handmaiden. Now, Jonathan did give me a perspective on that because Sarah was 80. Hagar was probably 20. And I said, good point, good point. But what I got when I come home, out of that lesson, they did not believe the word of God. Now, you all have heard the word, because I'm a person of the word. I know the word. I have all the answers. But the Lord's been purifying me and taking it from here to here. And he said, I want you to walk it out. And I said, oh, wow. My circumstances do not change the word of God. Amen. The word of God changes my circumstances. Amen. I decree and declare to you today, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, because the Lord God, Word of God says so, and God's not a man that he should lie, that he's already done it. But even when I heard with Lynn Hammond's things, it's, do you have faith? Somewhere I read, oh, I have my faith in God. But they said, oh, but do you trust him? Thanks, Papa. No. Now, you know, and that's what I asked. Do you have faith? You have to answer that. Oh, I have faith in God. But do you trust him? Because the complete Jewish Bible uses trust for faith. Do you trust him? Well, that's our walk right there. Even if we don't see it, are we going to trust God? Because his promises never fail. And Dee made a statement, which she gave Sabre the credit. Nancy, you are healed. Your circumstances have not caught up with the word of God yet. I said, thank you, Lord. And what I wanted to be able to do, and I almost did it, was to go through this without crying. Because I've had some crying. But it's okay. It's okay. And I said, Lord, Satan's picked on the wrong person. He's picked on the wrong person. So I'm closing with this. Make sure I look at all my toys, and I've used them all. We went to a Christmas service at a church that Kylie's been going to. The journey down in Augusta, Bobby Smith. He's friends with my son. He's a hunter and a fisherman and everything. And Bobby was telling this story at Christmas, because it's about gifts and everything, that this, and I might not have it completely right, who cares, that this woman went to Africa. She was a missionary, sweet and nice, and you look very sweet and nice. And she did such a good job, and the kids just fell in love with her and everything. And they all, kids all got together and said, we want to bless our teacher because she's done so much and gives so much to us. Let's all get her a present. And so they said, okay. Now, they're in Africa. My daughters went to Africa twice. They ain't much to give you, honey, you know. But they're going to give what they've got. And so Kylie said, Mom, you can buy a pineapple, I think, for a nickel. Because when I went to get one for $2, she wouldn't let me buy it. She said, you can get them for a nickel. Then they got papayas or mangoes or whatever. And so this one little boy come to the teacher. And he said, here's my gift. His was a little bit bigger. It was just a little clamshell. And she said, where did you get that, little JoJo? And he said, I went to the beach to get it. You didn't. It's 3 hours away. Do you know what could have happened to you going to the beach to get that? And he said, but teacher, my journey along the way and the dangers are part of my gift. Me walking my journey is part of my gift to the Lord because of what he has done for me. So God has plans, and they are good plans. He has a word, and he has given the word. Do I believe the word? Am I going to trust him? Am I going to walk it out in faith? Or am I going to say, cry and be pitiful or powerful? Well, I'll tell you right now, I am a mighty woman of God. I am filled with the Spirit of God. I am anointed. And he says, arise, shine, your light has come. Yes, thank you, Lord. Because there's one more step after you go through the fiery furnace. I look good today because we've got a lot of bling and silver. And oh, and I got a compliment yesterday. Dee will tell you, I have hair like Paula Deen. But you know what, God? The last step with that potter in the clay is the painting. After you're fired. And it's the, I see orange and I see fuchsia, hot pink and all these beautiful colors. And you know what that is? The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But my light will be seen on you. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. To set at liberty those that are held captive. To raise the dead. To open blinded eyes. See? God has a purpose. He has a plan. Thank you.